Praise God. Sweet. You know, most of you are probably wondering, like, what do they mean it's a short night? It's not like the night for all the short people to, like, woo! Tonight is, it's going to be a little bit shorter. We have some things that we're going to do at the end here that are going to be a little different and kind of special and cool. And really kind of a once in a long time opportunity that we get an opportunity to be a part of. So how many of you guys excited about that? Yeah. Woo. Okay. Sweet. Hey, if you are new here, we just want to welcome you. We're just glad that you're here. And we just believe God has something in store for you tonight. We're in the middle of a series. As you can see, it's called A Call to Character. And we've been doing this for a couple months now. And the Lord just continues to lay on our heart more things that He wants us to focus on. And right now, we are talking about love. A response to a call in our character about how we love others. Amen. And of course, Christ is the ultimate example and the expression of God's love to us. And I was talking about how God loves a good love story. In fact, He created the greatest love story ever when He sent Jesus and He came to this earth to pay the price for all of our sins and bring reconciliation, closing the gap between us and God. It was a beautiful thing. It was the most beautiful love story ever. Yay. Praise God. It's awesome. We've been talking about the way we talk, our speech. Talked about gossip and slander, right? We talked about in our lives, a lot of great messages came out from our leadership team, from Mariah and from Gabe. And who else preached it? James, did you preach yet in this series yet? No, James is coming up. James has got a message coming up. You guys are going to get rocked when we move into a series on faith. James is already ready. He's ready to chew on you. Praise God. So if you'll open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8, we'll get started tonight. The title of my message tonight is Love Always. Love Always. While you're there, I'm going to read a scripture to you that you're pretty familiar with. Usually, most people are familiar with this one. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Stay in Matthew 8. We're time sensitive tonight. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that your presence would be here tonight. God, that you would move among your people. Lord, that when we just dig into your word, God, that we would be transformed. That tonight would be our night for transformation, that God, the word would not come forward and land on hard soil, but it would land in good soil tonight. God, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word, God, and it would bear fruit, tremendous fruit, 30, 60, even 100 times fold tonight in Jesus' name, God. Amen. You guys excited about God's word? Listen, God's word is what we should hunger for. We need to be hungering after who God is. You want to know him, you got to just dig into his word and you got to chew on him. But your heart's got to be open and ready to receive it, or you just get nothing. You just get nothing. So tonight, allow God to just cultivate your heart. Forget about your brother, your sister, your girlfriend, whoever it is next to you. It's just you and God tonight. You want to have an encounter with His Word tonight, all right? Yeah. Brothers, don't be looking at your brothers. Matthew chapter 8. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. This is such a great message that the Lord has in the Word here. Not just what I'm going to say. I just love this passage. I love what the Lord does here. Okay, when He, which is Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cured of leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you not tell anyone, and go and show yourself to the priest." And he offered the gift, and offer the gift that Moses commanded him as a testimony to them. Verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him asking for help, "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and I will heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed. Still with me? Verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law, lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, we're not going to go there just for the sake of time, but if you did look there, you would see this. It was when Jesus comes out to the disciples walking on the water, and Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out on the water and I'll come out." And he goes, "Come." And so what happens? Peter steps out of the boat. Beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. Walks his way towards Jesus, and all of a sudden, he starts sinking. He looks at the waves, right? And he starts to sink in the water. He gets his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink, and he cries out to the Lord. He goes, "Lord, help me." And then in verse 31, this is what happens. It says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" There's some important things that I just believe the Lord wants to reveal to us about his love. Is that God's love always reaches out. It always reaches out. The first portion of this passage we read in Matthew 8, we see that Jesus is coming down after teaching on the mountainside. He strolls his way down and large crowds are following. A man with leprosy falls to his knees before Jesus. In Luke, he says he falls on his face in an attitude of worship. And he says, "Lord, not if you can, but if you are willing, you will make me clean. You can make me clean." Now, I don't know how familiar you are with leprosy. You know, in the Bible, times of the Bible, leprosy really stood for a lot of different skin diseases. It wasn't all just the one skin disease that we think about with leprosy. It could have been a lot of things. And the priests had all of these different regimens that they were required to do. And the people were responsible to come to the priest when they saw white spots or any kind of skin disease or sores or whatever. And they had this whole procedure that they would go about, you know, checking them out to see if they've got, you know, something that's going to be contagious, that's going to destroy all of God's children, the whole nation, right? It only takes one little thing that could just spread and take them all out. So it was really serious business. And when someone had leprosy, they were ostracized. I mean, they were pushed out. They were not allowed to be a part of whatever was going on in the community to protect the community, to keep that thing from spreading. They would call them unclean. So after they go through the process and discover that someone was unclean and they had leprosy or some kind of contagious skin disease, they would push them out of the community. But somehow this man happened to be in the crowd outside of the city, and they're out on the mountainside, and he strolls up to Jesus. And what happens is, if you touch someone who is unclean, you defile yourself. It was a big deal that Jesus would reach out and touch the unclean leper. See, but God's love, it always reaches out. It doesn't matter what's in front of you, how unclean it is, how unlovely it is, how ugly that thing is, how nasty. Nothing. Some people are just not lovely, guys, and they live around us. But you know, if you were to get leprosy, it was like getting AIDS in that time. You're going to die. And it's not pretty the way you go out. Your skin basically rots off of your body. No fun. And the worst part about it is that you're completely ostracized from the community. So for Jesus to reach out to a dying man that he could get contagious from, and not only that, that everybody around him would look at him and go, dude, that could be the end of his ministry. I mean, if he didn't get healed. But of course, Jesus knew what his love could do, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the deity of the whole Godhead within him that would heal that leper. So as the leper kneels down, and the leper, understanding who Jesus was, kneels down before him and says, if you're willing, just think about that. How willing are you? How willing are you to share God's love with others? How willing are you to reach out to someone who's unlovely? How willing are you? How many of these opportunities just slip past us every day? So we just stroll along in life and we see somebody hurt on the side of the road, or somebody at school's getting picked on, or, you know, our little brother, little sister is just having a really rough day, and they're hurt and they're crying and they're broken. We just let it slip by because we're not willing. Not that we can't. It's not that we can't love. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't heal him. The leper didn't ask him, if you are able to heal me, if you're able to extend your love to me, then you could make me clean. No, he said, if you're willing. Because he understood who Jesus was. Who are you? Come on, begin to internalize the gospel of Christ, the very nature of Christ, the very character of who he is within you. The Bible says that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the fullness of God can dwell inside of you. When you make yourself the dwelling place of God by giving Jesus your heart and making him the Lord of your life and asking him to forgive you for your sins, and then you begin to have this intimacy with God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, the fullness of his power is in you. All of his love is available to you. It's not only available to you, but it's available for you to be willing to reach out and give it to others. Man, if not you, then who? If not you as God's believers and his children, if you are not willing, not that you can't, but if you're not willing to give this love, who's going to do it? What are you living for? What are you trading your life for? The heartbeats that are slipping away today, how are you investing those in God's kingdom? Are you reaching out with love and compassion, as Mariah preached about the heart of God's compassion for people? That needs to be internalized inside of us. That we need to be willing to go into those dark, evil places of people's hearts and meet them there. But when we understand the very character and the nature of Christ, that his love was willing, always willing, to reach out, we can allow that to just grow and cultivate that inside of our hearts and allow that to come out and express it in the same way. You just have to see those opportunities that you can reach out. I just love how when Jesus goes to see the centurion meets him and he's like, I've got one of my servants that are paralyzed and they're hurting. And he says, the centurion goes, you know, if you could just, you know, he stops Jesus when Jesus says that, you know, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go to your house. Who knows how far away that was? He didn't say. He goes, I'll go. But the servant goes, no, hold on a second. You don't have to go. You can just say it. And it'll be done. Because I understand this authority thing. But here's the thing about Jesus. Is he just willing to go out of his way? It's not just about what was right there in front of him all the time. This challenges me and my heart and my ministry. Is that we've got to be willing to just go out. We got to be willing to go out of our own schedules, out of our own comfort zones, into the places, people's homes, into people's lives, even when it doesn't fit our neat little package, organized day planner time. Oh, well, my Palm Pilot doesn't say that I can actually come to your house and minister to you today, but I'll pencil you in digitally. I'll put you in my cell phone. Now, I live my life this way a lot. But there's something in the heart of who we are as believers that we need to be have the same nature that Christ had. That he was just like, no, listen, I can hear the heartbeat of the Father. The Father wants to heal your servant. And I want to go do it. I'm willing to go all the way to your house. But because of the man's great faith, Jesus is like, whoa, I guess I don't have to make that trip today. Bleep. You're healed from a distance. I don't know how he does it. Come on. All right. Then we find him in Peter's house. He goes to old Peter's place. And what is he doing? He's chilling with Peter's mama. Like, Peter, I love your mama. She made good stew. So he goes to kick it with Peter's mom, and when they get there, yes, Lord. Someone calls on the phone when they get there. No. When they get there, all of a sudden, Peter's mom is out with sickness. She's down. She's out. She's got a fever. I have 103. Okay. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't say anything. He just knows what needs to be done. He just bumps on over there. He's like, I'm pretty hungry. I don't really feel like cooking. Beep. Mama steps up off the bed, right? Who knows what he was thinking? He probably actually had compassion. He wasn't thinking about himself at that moment. He reaches down and he doesn't say anything. He just touches her. And she stands up. The fever's gone. She's totally healed. You know, sometimes we just know, guys. We can see what needs to be done. We can see the hurt in someone's life. We don't got to say anything. We don't have to have some great, exegeting of the scriptures. Whatever that means. You don't have to have everything all lined out. You just got to sense the heartbeat of the Father. You got to know that, you know what? Dude, let me get that for you. It's good. You know, you see little things every day that are happening in your life, that happen around you. You can see that someone's having a rough time. Or that if you don't step in, it's gonna cause a lot of problems. You know, but man, if you just put a little energy into it, if you just add a little bit of God's love into a situation, all of a sudden, it can just turn it around for somebody. Over and over again, you hear testimony after testimony about how it was one little act of compassion, one small act of love, One physical act, guys. It just changes somebody. All of a sudden they get it. Because they experience the actual touch of the Father. The touch of the Lord in their life. Are you willing? Are you willing to be that touch? Are you willing to be that extension of God's hand in someone's life? You've got to see it. You got to see Peter's mom with a fever. You got to be in her house. You know what I'm saying? You can't be hiding out in your tree fort when it's 20 below. Because your daddy put in radiant floor heat in your tree house. You can't be chilling up there. You got to get out of that thing, man. Your little club. You got to find where the need is. You got to see it. You've got to have this heart of compassion, this brokenness for other people that you could actually reach out and touch them and make a difference. Amen? Don't minimize the impact that you can make. You know, when Jesus catches Peter as he's slipping into the water, you know, we find all the time people around us that are just sinking. Life is absorbing them. They're just sinking. They're not going to make it. And you can see it. And they're doing all kinds of things. Sometimes they're doing hurtful things to you and people around you, crying out, "Help me! Come on, somebody! Notice that I'm sinking! Just see that I'm about to drown." What does Jesus do? He reaches out. And he does the miraculous. He lifts him up back on the water and he goes, "Come on. Come on, stir up your faith. You can be somebody in me. Come on, let's get back in the boat." When your friends are around you and they're sinking, and they're screwing off, they're blowing it, and they're just falling off the boat, they're sinking in the water, who are you going to be in their life? Gosh, do you see are your eyes open? Can you see that they're sinking? Do you see the signs that they're drowning? Or are you so concerned about yourself and the fact that you're walking on water? Oh, yeah. Look at me. I can walk on water. The fame. The glory. Right? Come on. We get so absorbed and consumed with ourselves and what we're doing in our Christian walks or our little ministries and how cool we are. Yeah. That's so cool. Nobody sees you when you pick your nose, and it's how you maintain your cool status. Pick behind closed doors. But you know, we're always like, "Well, I don't like her. Seriously, she's so mean to me. She punches me and she kicks at me and she swears at me." Seriously. So won't have anything to do with it. She's disgusting. Right? She's like, "She is dark. Just feel like the presence of something. Woo! It's all over. I mean, I just can't get close to her. I mean, a demon might..." Right? It's like, we get these weird ideas about why we're not going to reach out, why we're not going to love somebody. But all the time, the reason they paint those masks, the reason that they're mean, the reason that they're dark, the reason that they're unfriendly or unlovely, come on, they're drowning. They're sinking. Who's going to love them? Who's going to make the choice to, like, "Look, it's not about me. I don't care that you're treating me bad. I'm going to love you anyway." What did Jesus say? He said, "No." You said, we're called to, you've heard it said that, you know, hate your enemies, right? He goes, no. Listen. You love those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who hurt you. Come on. You got to reach out with God's love. And by doing good deeds on them, you're heaping burning coals of goodness on them. Just the goodness of the Lord is spilling on them. Right? Come on, who are you? Who are you going to be? Are you going to reach out? You've got to be willing. You've got to have a heart that's willing. Your eyes have to be open to see. See the need. And you've got to touch. You got to do it. You got to be in their place to do it. And you've got to see people who are drowning, and you got to be willing to just reach down and pick them up. Get them back in the boat. Don't allow them to drown. Amen? Come on, who are you going to be? Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit, God. We thank you for your Word. God, I thank you that you just have the power to change and transform lives. God, and that your love is consistent. God, you say that your love endures forever. You say your love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. God, your love always reaches out. God, your love is always there. Father, I pray that you would make it real to us, God, that our lives would be changed for eternity, God, that we would never look back. We would never be the same, God, that our love would be able to come forward, God, that your love through us would be able to penetrate this dark world, that we would be different. God, that people would no longer look at this community and say, they don't care. God, that they would see and they go, man, that group of people, they just love me. Lord, let us be a people that is willing to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you guys. You are awesome. Now listen, we've got like 35 to 40 minutes that I want to do something special. Whew. 40 minutes. You got to give me a few extra minutes because I just wanted to preach a little bit. Now, here's what I want to do. Now, if you haven't noticed or you don't know, we're remodeling our auditorium in the other room. And it is amazing. It's amazing what we're doing. Okay. What I want to do is for us to take an opportunity. Jesus said that even if you give a cold cup of water in my name, your reward will not be forgotten in heaven. In Colossians 3:23, it says that work as unto the Lord, right? That we're not working unto ourselves, but when we go to work, that when we go to invest in something, if we do it with God in mind, that souls are going to be won, that people's lives are going to be changed, we're not just turning bolts and cleaning carpet and moving boxes and doing stuff. That we are actually making a difference for eternity. Amen? We have not had an opportunity as a church, as a ministry together, to really serve and do something. And you know, I wanted to just create a little bit of time that we could all go in, and this is the last opportunity that we will get to invest in there. And everything that happens in there, spiritually, because you invested naturally, you will receive a reward, guys. For eternity. It's huge. So, your heart's got to be right about it, and you got to work as unto the Lord, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be right about it, but I wanna do something fun as a community, us all together, go in and serve and just bust out and try to knock the rest of this auditorium out today. It's almost done. And if we go help, we might be able to finish it tonight. Dude, how exciting would that be? Praise God. So if the welcome team can go out and kinda direct everybody, we love you. We'll see you next week as well. And the Christmas party, don't forget it next Saturday. But let's go serve and let's go work hard together in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen.